For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
And it's my pleasure to introduce the speaker this evening. I'm Tugen Layton, for the people, the guiding teacher at Ancient Dragon Zen Gate. And Chris Cadman will be giving the talk tonight, a Way-Seeking Mind talk, about his coming to practice. Chris is fairly recently practicing at Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, for a while now, though, and but was a practitioner before that, and was also some member of the Ancient Dragon Zen Gate board. He's also one of our MDs in Sangha and a cardiologist who, amongst other things, works with hospice. So I'm really glad that you're here giving the talk, Chris. Thank you very much. Please.
Well, thank you, Tugen. Before coming up to the Zendo tonight, I was talking with my wife, Renee, and I said, you know, it would be a lot easier if I was giving a talk on sudden arrhythmic death, because I'm used to that. I'm comfortable with that. I know how to approach that and how to deal with it. But talking about my practice, because through my bulk of my life, it's been a private affair, it's a little more difficult. But thank you, again, for this opportunity to talk with everybody and about my practice and my continued journey in this practice. Realized at this time in my life that I have fewer years to practice than I've had in the past. And I want to thank everybody for supporting my practice, because as I'll talk a little bit about, so I'd like to, you know, first thank you all for being my sangha, and very appreciative for that. In 1978, and a friend of mine at Zen Center LA, and he asked me if I'd like to go with his mom. Had suggested that he go to a beginner's class, and I said, sure. And it was then that I first got a copy of Zen Mind, Beginner Mind. It still continues to be one of my favorite. The part I like the best is to give your cow a big, large meadow to roam in, and I feel that's important. Then in two, I took a course when I was a sophomore in college with a young faculty member who had just come over from Berkeley. I was at Stanford at the time. And that was Carl Bielefeld, who had a large beard and a lot of hair, and he was a very dynamic teacher and very inspiring. It was the first time that I read the Kalamurti Sutra. And as a young person reading it, I had a very different experience than last practice period when we read it, and I'll talk about that a little bit. When I got done with the course, I asked Professor Bielefeld if you know what I could do, because I was interested in this practice. Did he have any suggestions? And he said, well, there's this Zen Mountain View, which was Kamen Do. And it was at a time when Pobuncino was there but leaving to go to Mexico. And he had appointed Les Kay. So I would get up early in the morning and ride my 10-speed bike for about 20 minutes in the dark to go to the small Zendo sit. There's a couple of sitting periods in Kinhin, and then a work period afterwards, and then we'd have tea. And as a young person, it was very influential in beginning of my practice. It was there that I started sharing this story with Getsu the other day. It was sewing that I got up from sitting to start Kinhin, and I did not realize that my leg had fallen completely asleep, and I went to the floor, and Les K came over to make sure I was okay while everybody else was slowly Kinhining past me. And so at that point, I decided I had to build a bench. You couldn't go out and buy a bench. There wasn't Amazon. There was no internet. So I built, one summer, I built a bench out of wood, and that's served me for many years. Unfortunately, I don't know what happened to it. Somehow it disappeared over the years. I also had the opportunity to do two or three day sits at Mount Baldy Zen Center. I had grown up in Claremont and with Sasaki, who was there, Hoshi, and learned about the stick, you know, that if you start to fall asleep, you might get whacked. And I did. And I woke up. My sitting was very much alone. And mostly sitting in times of difficult times, not good times, but times that I needed something to persevere. And then in the early 2000s, I was living in Albuquerque, and Brian Taylor was the father for our Episcopal church that I was going to with my children and my then wife. He had a contemplative group that I started becoming involved in, and realized that this was very much like Zen. So for quite a while, I was involved in the contemplative prayer group. And I had some interesting conversations with Brian about what Zen was. And then I had some experiences in Albuquerque at the Albuquerque Zen Center. It is Rinzai, one of Sasaki Roshi's place. My now wife, she was also involved in, and she went to a Shishin at LA Zen Center. I have yet to do a Shishin, so it's sort of, she has one up on me for that, but I hope one of these days I'll get to that. As far as how I came to practice and my first knowing about Ancient Dragon also came from Brian Taylor. I had sent him an email, and I actually looked it up in preparing for a talk. This was in April of 2018, and I sent him an email and said, I was wondering, do you know anything about the Zen centers in Chicago? I was still living in Decatur, where I had my medical practice for just over a decade, but my wife had moved up here to work, was mostly here full-time from about 2015 on. And he replied, he said he didn't know about any other places other than the one that he'd been practicing with for a while. And I just wanted to share with you some of the things that he said. So our teacher is really good. And he says, a vibrant, healthy community with several assisting priests, including women. Lots of interesting people. And that's all very true. So my first dragon was about June 2018, just before the pandemic. My wife and I got there. Douglas was the greeter. So he gave us the introduction of where we, you know, what was going on. And we were able to practice a few times there until COVID, and then things really changed. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that during COVID, when I couldn't go sit with people, we couldn't go sit with people, that it was then and only then that I really started to appreciate what Sangha was and began understanding what taking refuge in Sangha is. I had done a 90-day commit to sit period with the New York Zen Center. Because they had this through Tricycle, they had advertised it, and it was something that I could do at home because we couldn't do anything else because we couldn't go see anybody. But that's also when I could start sitting with Ancient Dragon, and also sat with a couple of other sanghas, including Ordinary Zen with Fisher. But that's when I really started learning what Sangha was, because I was sitting with people, even though I wasn't physically there. Yes, we're all together. And it's become very important to me that we keep that in mind to make sure that we're available for everyone. So why do I sit? When I was sitting as a younger person, again, it was at times when it was tough. When COVID came, I was sitting because it was very isolating. But as we've been able to sit together, I've learned that, you know, it's okay to sit when you're happy. as Taigen has said on occasion, you know, enjoy your zazen. And that's become an important part of my practice as well. I left my professional practice in October of 2022. At that point, I began a 9-month program in studying palliative care and hospice. And I, at that point, contacted Douglas and said, you know, I really would like to devote more time and thought to my practice. And then I was able to start sitting multiple days a week with our Sangha. I'm very thankful for this Sangha. My decision to be involved and to be on the board isn't because I feel like I have great abilities for those things, but that I want to help in any way that I can our Sangha, because I think it is a precious thing. When I started discussing with Taigen about Jukai, I was fairly hesitant for a variety of reasons. One is I wasn't really sure I wanted a teacher but that I realized in our discussions that a teacher is not there to give you the answer book, the answer to the questions. But to help you ask the questions. And so I'm very thankful to Taigen for that. I also have discussions with Douglas, and it's important for me that there is somebody who I can have discussions with who's a lay practitioner. And I'm thankful to Douglas for that. So I'm very happy, feel very fortunate to have found Ancient Dragons. And I'm very thankful to be sitting with you, and I'm very thankful for you being my Sangha. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris. I think you once told me about your exposure to Carl Bielefeld, who's a really senior person in our Suzuki Roshi lineage. He was at Tassajara with Suzuki Roshi, but is a very known scholar in Soto Zen. And you've got a quite illustrious background of practice with people. So anyway, thank you very much for your talk. Time for comments, questions, responses. Please feel free. Anybody in the room, anybody online, questions or responses to this? Okay, let's see.
I was wondering, Chris, how it is for you to have this awareness that arises from Zazen just as in your life, in your everyday life with, you know, your profession, which is often one of like, just look straight ahead and get things done, or in family life, you know, or as a parent of adorable pets.
Yeah, one of the pets is our kitten, whose name is Bodhi, for Bodhisattva. So she's something else. What I would say is, and thank you for that question. I didn't talk really much about my professional life and how my practice has influenced it, particularly in the last few years. I am now more involved in hospice care than in cardiology. I'm an electrophysiologist by training. I still do work as a locum. But as I went on in my practice, I began to realize that the importance in being thoughtful about what we were doing and talking with people to have them be able to express or help them to express what it is that they want done. So I think it's been in being more thoughtful or being more in tune with the patient as where you are, and where do you want to go? What care do you want? So it's been very helpful. As far as my wife and I, my wife says that, you know, she practices Buddhism and I'm a Buddhist. That's the differences. And, you know, and mostly I would say that she very kindly tolerates my practice. I'm very thankful to her for that.
Well, thank you for your practice. Thank you for helping with the Sangha. We're sitting on the board, which is something people flee from.
Do you know about that?
I do, but it is very important work. And I think, you know, I appreciate you talking about finding your place here in the Sangha with these people who are helping you. We become a group that takes care of each other. And, you know, that's a good experience. That's good training for a life in the world as well. You I'm taking on hospice care in particular, and really taking on what is that work, caring for the system in the most difficult time. So, thank you.
Thank you.
I might add that in our Sangha, we have, I'm not sure how many, maybe a dozen people now and who have been very active in our Sangha who are hospice workers. So it's, and we have many, this is an amazing Sangha. I'm really glad you're part of it. A lot of people working in helping contexts, therapists, hospice workers, attorneys, doctors, healers. Since one of our hospice workers, David Weiner, is here, I don't know if you have any questions or comments for this thing.
Well, I was thinking of something not related to hospice, but
and please speak up for the people online.
Okay.
Yeah, you can.
I think what I thought I heard you say, if I may, active listening, as we say in the hospice world, would that the practices help you be present with the person, to pay attention to them. Am I hearing you correctly?
Yes.
Yeah. I find that true also, that by practice, when I go see somebody, I'm truly with them rather than going in with an agenda or something, just being with them and seeing them for who they are. And I take it that's the same thing you experience as well.
Yes, very much so. And, you know, it's I will say that there's maybe most of the time it would be easier just to go in and, you know, this is the way it's going to be and get out, right?
Yeah.
But it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And though it takes more time and not necessarily easy, I think it is a better way of caring for people.
Yeah. And also, I would say connecting to people.
Right. Yeah, I agree very much so.
Yeah. The personal question I was going to ask is, when you sit, have you ever had the feeling like you're sitting with everybody, like you're just the whole group energy, like
yes.
coming in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it is not the same sitting virtually as sitting in the Zendo physically together. They're not the same, and it's not... And I think substitute maybe is not quite, I mean, they're different, but absolutely. And I remember in doing the, during COVID, the commit to sit with the New York Zen Center. I remember one of the teachers saying, you know, he had had a conversation with somebody about 6 months earlier, and he just said, yeah, there's no way this virtual Zendo is ever going to work. There's just no way. And he would more than once would comment on this, how he realized this, you know. And so here were people, not just in New York. I mean, they were in various places because, again, this is through Tricycle. But, you know, yes, it absolutely is a community, and something happens, whether we're sitting here together or we're sitting something, when we sit together, something happens. And that's what I came to discover.
So even virtually.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Chris. It was really nice to get to know you a little bit through your talk. I think we were in maybe high school and college at the same time, and I also took a class on Buddhism in college that never really went away.
Mm-hmm.
I've been mulling over your statement at the beginning about how you would maybe rather be delivering a talk on sudden arrhythmic death. And I guess I wonder if there, you know, this may be a direction forward for you, or maybe something that you have thoughts about now. Ways that you do bring, you know, your practice to the understanding of you know, human life or life period in a different way than we've been talking about. But this, I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say about it, but maybe just in a way that it's not different giving a Dharma talk from giving a talk on sudden arrhythmic death.
Yeah, and you know, it's that talk on sudden arrhythmic death would be different 20 years ago than it is now.
Yeah.
And I'm not just meaning because we have more technology. It really isn't that much different.
No, but
I'm different.
Yeah.
It's one of these things that you know, this was a not a quick process. This was a slow learning process that continues. You know, I think my practice helps me better understand at least what I feel is important.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those things are not, like I say, they're not necessarily easy. I didn't choose to be on the board because this is a great time to be on the board. there's challenges, you know, in our transitions that we're going through, but it's important. So, you know, whether it's caring for people as the physician in that capacity, or whether it's being on the board, you know, it's, to me, it's spend time on what's important.
There's a story in Rabbi Anderson's book, Being Upright, that you may have come across or you will come across about, I think he was talking about a wheelwright and how the wheelwright is saying, you know, I can't teach my son how to do this, and I can't explain to you how to do it, but I know how to do it and you can learn how to do it. And I think about that as, you know, part of your practice as a Zen practitioner and a cardiologist. It's experiential.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, one aids the other.
One
supports the other.
Oh, okay. I thought you said aids.
No. aids, but I support, I think, is a better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris, thank you so much. It's about time, but I wondered if anybody online, you know, one last comment or question. Just to include our online Zonda.
I could. Okay. Did you have something to say?
I was hoping at this time. Just to say from my experience, I feel grateful for you being a part of Ancient Dragon. I welcome your openness and your vulnerability, your gratitude, your understanding of what's important, the fact that you show up because it's important, and that shows with you, without you having to say it, even if you say it. It's been wonderful to get to learn from you and to practice with you, cook with you, etc. So thank you.
It's a good one.
Well, Mike sort of said what I was going to say. Mind melt, you know.
Yeah.
But I was just really appreciating, and I wanted to appreciate with everyone, how our Monday nights are really a very close Sangha time when we have time to get to know each other a little better, and how we practice in a, you know, on the ground in our lives. So I just really appreciate you sharing, Chris and everyone. And look forward to hearing future updates on how practice is going from everyone, including you.